AIM Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Yeah, it is. Welcome in. ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. Chase McCabe, we're here with you on Chasing Checkers. We hang out every week. New episode on demand every Friday. You can hear it every Saturday morning at 7, Sunday at 8, right here on The Game Nashville, talking all things NASCAR. And, of course, coming up next weekend, the double dip. We'll talk a little IndyCar. We'll talk, of course, the Coke 600. But we got the All-Star Race coming up Saturday night at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. But what a race we saw last week at Kansas. That was a lot of fun. I'm going to tell you, that was a ton of fun. This is the race that we all had circled because NASCAR and the drivers and everybody was saying, you know, this rules package, by the time you get to Kansas, that's where everybody's going to have it figured out. That's a track that's conducive to it, and it's going to be a ton of fun, and it delivered. We saw Alex Bowman for the third straight week come home second. He looked like he was in position to win a race, and that kid is so close to winning a race. So close. Chase Elliott, he had the best car for a while, and then he kind of fell off. And who ends up getting the checkered flag? Brad Keselowski. He comes home with the win, his third of the year. And that was one of those situations where all of a sudden he's there chasing down Bowman, and I'm thinking, where did he come from? How did he get up there? But the passing was great. You had three and four wide. It was just a fun night. And Brad Keselowski, like I said, gets it done, and he reacted with an emotional post-race speech.
I got to dedicate this win to Mike Mittler. You know, he helped a lot of guys in their career, and I was one of them, and he was local to here, and he passed away yesterday, and just such a huge loss for the NASCAR community. It's one of those unsung heroes that works in the garage, gave his whole life to this sport, and there's so many of those guys and so many of those fans, and it just hurts to see those guys go away. But just a special day for Ford, and a bunch of Worth guys are here today. I know they're in the stands. I'm going to hear you guys, but man. And happy Mother's Day. What a great day, Matt. That restart, we just got a great launch. And Alex Bowman, I'll tell you, he's going to win a race. He did a great job today. We had a little bit fresher tires than he did, and we were able to make the move on the outside there and just caught everything perfect, and I'm so thankful.
Mr. Mittler, a racer, would have loved the type of racing we saw here tonight. Just how unpredictable was it all night, trying to make the run, make the right move?
He would have. I'm a little biased. I'm going to go park this thing in victory lane, but this was an awesome race today. This rule package is really made for tracks like Kansas Speedway, and I think the fans saw a great one today.
Yeah, they did. And I think that that's the best race that they've had under this rules package. Talladega was fun, but that's always going to be different. That's a super speedway. That one's different. The short tracks, they have their own little niche to them. But for the mile and a half tracks, and that's what has gotten the, the biggest complaints from fans and drivers, this was the best one because it was fun. You had passing, you had side-by-side racing. I mean, the racing that Chase Elliott and Alex Bowman, they were side-by-side, inches apart, didn't wreck. It was just good old-fashioned side-by-side racing, and that's what this rules package allowed them to do, and that was just fun to watch, you know, whether you were at the track or you were watching at home or whatever. I just think it was that entertainment value that NASCAR had been looking for. And I mentioned Alex Bowman, three straight runner-up finishes. Man, he was so close. And he spoke with Fox Sports after coming home second once again.
Yeah, I'm not very proud of myself on lane choice there at the end. Just made some bad decisions and really shouldn't have ever given the two car a chance at it. But, just made some bad calls there through lap traffic and got tied off, had to lift, and then the two was able to drive around us. But really proud of everybody at Hendrick Motorsports. Our race cars are so much better than what we started the year with. And Exalta, Nationwide, Lumar, Valvoline, everybody that lets me get to drive a race car for a living. Really appreciative. Wish we were staying here with three wins in a row and things could have gone differently, and that could be the case. But we'll keep digging next week and try to go get in the All-Star, go win the All-Star, and then go try to win the 600.
What a fun story he's become. Because, I will admit, and he's been on this show a couple times, I will fully admit that when he was announced as the driver to replace Dale Earnhardt Jr., I kind of went, really? Because, you know, he filled in. He did an admirable job when Jr. was out with the concussion. You know, I thought he did a good job. He came close to winning a race. I think it was at Kentucky. But, you know, I think everybody had that reaction of, okay. And then he gets a contract extension because he did a good enough job last year. Now you look at it and just how far he's come. He's getting used to this package. He's used to his team. He's got a year under his belt. He's getting that experience and that seat time, and they're being patient with him. And now he's finished second three straight races. And he's close to winning. Like, I can't wait to watch him in the Open, because I think he's going to probably win that race. Try and get into the All-Star race. He's going to, or a segment or something. He's trying to get in. He's going to get in the All-Star race. But he's been fun to watch. And I think you heard it in Brad Keselowski's post-race interview, and he even mentioned him in his post-race press conference, of just how close the 88 and the Chevys are.
The 88 the last 2 weeks has looked very, very strong. He looked, when I was behind him here today, very, very strong. They're definitely starting to hit their stride for sure, and we can't let our guard down.
And I don't think it's just the 88. I think it's Hendrick Motorsports. I think Hendrick is really starting to come into their own, and they're starting to find that magic. And I said that last week, that you see it not only – I mean, Chase Elliott has a win, obviously, but you see it out of him. You're seeing Alex Bowman run better, as we mentioned, with three straight second-place finishes, and then you're seeing William Byron run better as well. And Jimmy Johnson, he's up and down, hot and cold, but – I think seeing those Hendrick guys have that type of success is going to be good for the sport, because that's one of those teams that everybody always looks at. And you look at the top 10 last week at Kansas, BK, of course, wins, but then Bowman comes home second. Chase Elliott was fourth. Jimmy was sixth. And so three out of the four Hendrick drivers were in the top 10. And then William Byron was running up there for a while. He comes home 20th. But I thought he had some good portions of the race. It's just putting it all together for him. And with Chad Knaus as his crew chief, I think they're eventually going to get that turned around. But to see the success that Hendrick Motorsports is starting to put together, I think is good for the sport. And Chase Elliott gave his thoughts on his night.
Yeah, just our Napa Chevy was good, just not great. And the way those restarts were there at the end, it was just hard to get away. And hard to break free, on a restart. Alex and I both, I felt like, kind of had that problem. But a solid effort. It's great to be racing a teammate for the lead. I think that's signs of progress. So hopefully we can keep going in that direction. And, hate to give it away, to somebody else. Me and I were pacing it there at the end. But, it happens, and it was racing, and we'll just work harder and try to beat him next time.
And I think a prime example right there of just what you see with this stage racing is you watch the different portions of the racing, you think, okay, Chase Elliott's his night again. Nope, not quite. And then here comes Alex Bowman. Nope, not quite. Brad Keselowski closes it out in the end. That's the product that we're seeing, not only with the rules package, but with the stage racing. And it keeps you on your toes. It's exciting. They should be very, very happy, they being NASCAR, about what they saw at Kansas. I'll tell you a driver that wasn't happy, though, was Clint Bowyer, because you had that situation there at the end where Bowyer was in position to possibly come home second. He had a good car. I mean, he's put some good runs together. He ends up finishing fifth. Eric Jones finishes third, and, Jones was chasing down Bowman trying to get second place, but Clint Bowyer mad at Eric Jones after the race.
It's just, what are you going to do? You turn him right in front of the field and hurt him? I mean, he puts you in a bad situation. I lifted for him, cost me three spots right there. We should have finished second. Everybody knows that. That was dumb on his part. I mean, I guess that's what he wants, just go down and wreck him in front of the field. But, I mean, you got to run like that, you just don't move up. That was I should have just wrecked him, I guess. But our rush truck center forward was fast all weekend long. It's God, that pisses me off. But you know, all in all, it was a struggle. It wasn't exactly what I thought it was going to be at home. We were fast yesterday in practice and qualifying, things like that. You know, it's just a chaotic inning. So I guess I didn't even know who won. But
Clint Bowyer after the race, and you can tell, not happy with Erik Jones. And I think if you go and you look, you know, blocking, there's such a, and you'll hear from Brad Keselowski on blocking in just a second. It's such a gray area with blocking, because some guys are going to say when a driver moves down in front of them that they're just changing lanes, they're going to call that a block. Some, that is a block. I mean, they're you can see it at, depending on the racetrack. And so there's been a debate all week long whether Bowyer really had beef and if he should have been mad at Erik Jones. And Erik Jones, of course, gave his side of the story when he caught up with Fox after the race, and essentially just, hey, this is racing.
I think it was just racing. You know, we're racing hard, and this package really kind of leads into a lot of blocking and a lot of protecting your position. And, you know, we're taking the white flag. I'm not going to give up a lane to give up 2, 3, 4 spots if he would have got the inside. So besides that, I mean, the DeWalt Camry was good. We had a car that could have won. We just got in the wrong spot and at the end of the race, and we weren't able to capitalize on it. So we'll keep moving forward. It's been 2 good weeks. This was the best car we've had in a long time, well, since Texas, and it's just nice to be up in contention and have that shot.
Erik Jones after the race with Fox Sports, and, you know, he's close. He's looks like he's knocking on the door of possibly his second career win. I think the way he's been running lately in those Gibbs cars, and as we've mentioned on this show, he has to, because Christopher Bell's on his way, and there's got to be a ride for Christopher Bell. They got to look, figure out what they're going to do there. But Erik Jones making his case. Look, I think it was one of those racing deals. I'm with him on that. You know, this rules package is going to lead to more blocking. That's just going to happen with it, with the runs that these cars get, the closing speed that we talk about. And Brad Keselowski was asked about blocking in his post-race press conference.
Well, I think, Nick, that it's the word block gets maybe used sometimes fairly, sometimes unfairly. I always feel like a block is when you move down in front of somebody who has a run that's fast enough to pass you. I don't think of blocking when you're switching lanes in front of a car that's slightly faster in order to get the draft off of them, because you can get a draft being in front of someone just like you can get a draft being behind someone. But it's hard because, much like in your passenger car, you're making those judgments in split seconds and you're using a mirror to do it, which naturally doesn't give you great vision. Distorts your vision. And so when you make those moves, you don't always know if you're making it as a draft or if you're making it as a block. But you have to make it. If you don't, you're just going to easily get passed. So, yeah, you're going to see some wrecks like that. That's just part and parcel with these kinds of rules and another added challenge.
I think it's a product of this package. It's a product of the speed, the closing rate, whatever you want to call it. And then just the aero on the cars, that's what's going to happen sometimes. And it's a natural instinct for a driver to, if they feel like somebody's coming up on them, they're going to move down in front of them to try and halt their momentum. And you can get mad all you want, but that's racing. They've been doing it for a very long time. And like, look at Dale Earnhardt. You think Dale Earnhardt never blocked? go watch again, because I'm pretty sure he did. So I tip my cap to NASCAR. I thought that the race was awesome. It was entertaining, and I hope that we can see more of that. I'm excited to see what things look like at Charlotte with the All-Star race, and then, of course, the Coke 600 coming up next week as well in time for Memorial Day. When we come back, we'll dive deeper into the package. You'll hear from more from Brad Keselowski and some others as we discuss where they are at in the evolution of this rules package. It's Chasing Checkers. Rate, subscribe, and review on iTunes. You can also get it on demand on SoundCloud as a part of thegamenashville.com. A new episode every Friday, and of course it airs on the weekends. Right here on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. On the Game Nashville app as well. Everything on demand there from the website. Check it out. And also on iTunes, rate, subscribe, and review. New episode every Friday afternoon. And, of course, you can hear us on the weekends here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Also, Chase McCabe Show. Got some cool stuff coming to Nashville that we'll tell you about coming up a little later on in the show. You actually will hear from Hall of Fame rocker John Oates. This is something that he's a part of out at the fairgrounds, so we'll discuss that, plus the latest on what's happening with the fairgrounds. But the race at Kansas, as I said, I thought it was the best one with this new rules package on the mile and a half speedways. And as a lot of the drivers said, and we'll go back to last week when we had Ryan Newman on the show, and I asked him about the rules package and kind of what to expect from Kansas. And at first, you got the same answer that we always hear: I don't really know. But then you could tell that he was looking forward to going to Kansas because he thought that it would be pretty good racing.
I'm not really sure. One thing I will say is the racetrack is very conducive to being able to get 2, 3, and 4 wide through the corners. So I think that's going to come into play as far as racing in a bigger pack. We were really challenged last weekend in Dover to be able to get around and pass a car. It was just, you know, kind of a narrower racetrack, more so one groove, and just kind of we're stuck behind each other. So really look forward to the opportunity to get fanned out and race a little bit harder and put on a better show for the fans, in my opinion, at a track like Kansas.
And I think what you've seen is when you have more room, because this package was created to create more passing, make it easier to pass, to create more racing side by side, something that the fans will be entertained by and like. If you have a wider racetrack, it's obviously easier to do that. And so when you have 3 and 4 wide, the fans are going to get into that. I know I was. It's fun side-by-side racing, and you're on that edge of just, you know, chaos, but you're not quite there. And that's what they're looking for. They're looking for that balance of wrecking the whole field, which you don't want, to good side-by-side racing. And if, you know, if a guy makes a mistake, then who knows what happens. But you got some beating and banging and side-by-side. And I think that's what this rules package has created so far in what we saw at Kansas. Of course, you hear from Steve O'Donnell all the time here on the show, the EVP that's in charge of this, the competition. And so far, he really likes what he sees.
But I think from the industry, you know, you heard Brad's comments after the race, and I think that's the direction we want to go, is have drivers really feel good about what they're doing on mile and a half tracks, feel good about the racing, and ultimately have the ability to pass. I think ultimately you wanted, more drivers to have a shot at going out and competing for top tens, close the margin a bit, maybe from first to fifth, first to tenth. We saw that, but we still want the best cars to win the race. And I think you saw guys really out there racing hard for the win, racing for position, especially towards the end there in the last stage. This will be the same thing we run in Charlotte in the All-Star race. We're going to try some things for 2020, but, you know, encourage for the Charlotte race as well, the 600. You know, that's a huge race for us. And, again, you know, this package came from that racetrack as well. So I think it was meant for the intermediate tracks. We're seeing some really good things and expect to see some good racing in Charlotte.
As I've said many times before, that's Steve O'Donnell. I do like that NASCAR sticking with it. They're making some tweaks here and there. You know, they're kind of going through R&D, talking to the drivers, watching the races, seeing how it all shakes out, and then they're going and they're tweaking some things. But if we can have that product that we saw at Kansas for most weeks on these mile and a half, and I know you're not going to get it everywhere, I think it'll be pretty good with Charlotte. You know, as you heard in that clip, they're going to try some things for next year, which is something they typically do in the All-Star race. But overall, I think the racing will be pretty good. If they can just keep fine-tuning this, we might have something that they can stick with for a while and keep us all really in tune and excited. Because so far, I mean, I'm liking the race. And there's been some where it's, okay, all right, it doesn't really work. But I think the short tracks have been okay. I think Talladega was fun. And obviously what we saw with Kansas. We had Regan Smith on the show last week from Fox NASCAR. And he was somebody that was a fan of it. When I talked to him last year, by the way, this is the year anniversary of this show. When I talked to Regan Smith last year, he was a fan of the package just after the All-Star race. And I got his opinion 1 year later to see what he thinks.
Well, I still like it. I think there's some areas that possibly we can work on it and change some things up a little bit. I would say the short tracks and places like Dover possibly being areas that we need to look and see what we can do to help the drivers maybe be able to get closer to each other on the racetrack. But with that said, we've had that problem, you know, at those tracks for quite some time now, and ultimately the air still is the king, and everybody's going to find a way to make their car get through the air better. When we look at the mile and a half racetracks, the bigger tracks, the 2 mile tracks, you know, I feel like we've seen some very good racing. And in particular, when we look at Talladega, mm-hmm. with the set of rules that we just ran there, I think we've seen some exciting races. Can't deny that the races have been closer. The field has been closer together. Premiums put on pit road and on pit crew guys. And I like that. I like having to, you know, maybe build more of the team aspect of it, because the team does become more important. A mistake on pit road cost you more now than ever. So I think so far, so good with the set of rules. And like anything, we can always do some tweaking and adjusting, and I'm sure down the road that'll happen. But I would say that, you know, the grade is an A right now for sure. And anytime that you can make the widespread changes that we did make during an off season and have it somewhat working, that's a good sign.
Well, and I think too, when you hear, and Regan Smith's still a driver, so he's very in tune with what they're doing. I think anytime you hear mixed reviews where you hear drivers that like it and drivers that don't, that means that you're making an impact. That means you're doing something. And I think that they are trying to find that middle ground to make everyone not necessarily happy, because you're not going to do that. You're not going to make everyone happy, but to find that compromise of, okay, this is going to work. And that's what they're doing. And the drivers that are complaining, it's usually after they have a rough week. It's usually things don't go their way. Kyle Busch is a prime example of that. But I just have said it all year. I'm glad they're tweaking it. I'm glad they're working with it. But I like what I have seen so far. And I think majority of the drivers are feeling the same way. Brad Keselowski was a guy last year that, you know, he was unsure about it. He was like, look, we need to make sure that this is going to be the absolute right thing for our sport. And you can tell when we had him on the show, and then after his win, you know, he's got 3 wins under this deal. So I he's got to be feeling good about it too. And he actually said in his post-race press conference that things seem to be settling out.
It's hard to say where it'll go, but, you know, I feel like the season breaks down into thirds, and maybe I'm repeating myself to some of the people in the room, but, you know, you have your first third, your second third, and then, of course, the final part with the playoffs. And with that in mind, Kansas is kind of like, to me, a break point between the end of the first third of the season and the beginning of the middle stretch. And I think we really see kind of things kind of settle out by then. You know, the West Coast swing at the start of the season, there's a lot of comes and goes, and trying to understand the rules and the new and all the engineering behind it is a little bit tough. But when we get to this part of the season, I think you really have to shine, because this is what you've got. So it's nice to be able to win right here today. And of course, it's always nice to win. But in light of those thoughts or beliefs, I guess it's a good sign for us for sure.
And the thing, too, that was interesting, you can see the intensity go up a few notches with this rules package. And, you know, you always have that factor of, well, it's under the lights and, you know, that's going to affect the track and it's going to be cooler, things like that. And it was pretty cool from what I understand in Kansas. But I think he's right. You're starting to see things really settle out. You know who the best drivers are. You look at the points right now, you can tell who the best guys are. Now, a couple of wild cards in that, you know, what is Alex Bowman? Is this 3 really good weeks, or is he starting to come into his own and this package is starting to work for him, and now you're going to see him be in contention and get some wins? I think you can say that about Hendrick Motorsports in general right now, because they struggled out of the gates and now they're starting to come into their own and they're starting to be a factor. So that's what we've been hoping for. That's what Steve O'Donnell had said, that you're going to see that by the time you got to Kansas, that's when you were going to see some of the other teams that were struggling at first to try and figure things out. And we saw, according to Brad Keselowski, we definitely saw the intensity go up at Kansas. And I think that was what made it fun to watch.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I felt like in practice it was much more intense than a normal practice here. The cars undoubtedly are easier to drive by themselves than they used to be, but the demands of being able to run in the pack are very, very high. Very strenuous. Your peripheral vision gets tested. You know, all those things, your proprioception, to know where you're at in space and be able to make all the right moves. It really challenges you both mentally and physically in a different way than before. Physically, I I felt like, especially last week, this has been way more challenging physically because the cars are going so fast through the corner. And, you know, I got out of the car last week and I felt like I was 3 inches shorter, you know, just from all the G-forces. And, you know, I went and tested in Chicago and I thought it was just me. And then Ryan Newman came up to me and explained the same thing. I'm like, you too? Yeah, me too. And then saw about three or four other drivers and they all said the same thing. Like, man, I have never, ever felt that beat in the race car before. And this was a more physically challenging race than I can remember here, just because of those increased loads. But that's part of the game.
You don't always see those physically challenging races happen on a mile and a half, but I think with this rules package and how tight the cars will be together, that's going to add to it. And again, that adds to the excitement that the fans can get and what we see out of this race. And, you know, one more from BK on if how much the strategy going into a race has changed now with these rules.
Yeah, I mean, it feels different in some ways, and it feels, Jeff, the same in others. You know, I think I ran the last 20 or 30 laps wide open. And in a lot of ways, that's frustrating because, you know, it felt like before, at least when you were lifting, like there was something you could maybe do different. But when you're running wide open behind somebody and you can't make the pass, you're like, so that it's frustrating. But on the other side, it actually is just a touch easier to pass in some ways, too, because the draft helps pull you back to somebody and all those things. So it's just different. I don't know if there's a right or a wrong. You know, I felt like going into this race that this would be a good, you know, especially with it being a night race and being cool temps, this would be a strong showing for these rules and for the ability to pass and do those things. And I obviously I'm a little biased because I won the race, but I felt like it was. I feel like you saw the cars run closer than they probably ever have here, and saw some pretty good battles throughout the day, and that's definitely because of the rules package. It has its strengths and weaknesses, and if there's going to be a strength, it's going to be races like this, and I feel like it delivered.
And absolutely, and that's what we've been discussing. Hopefully NASCAR continues to stay on the right track. We'll see what they have in store for us with the All-Star race and the rules package that they're going to run with that. It's going to be this one with some tweaks that they could possibly introduce in 2020. When we come back, there's a different surface out at the Nashville Fairgrounds. I will tell you about that. Plus, what is the future of the Fairgrounds Speedway? We'll get into that next. It's Chasing Checkers. I'm Chase McCabe here on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're back, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, online at thegamenashville.com, on that beautiful Game Nashville app as well, on demand. And every Friday afternoon, you hear it. It comes right to your phone if you subscribe on iTunes. That's all you have to do. Just search Chasing Checkers. You'll get new episodes every week. You can go listen to old episodes. And look, if you paid attention to the show, you know the type of guests you're going to get. We have Brad Keselowski on. We've had Martin Truex Jr. on. We've had Alex Bowman, Chase Elliott. I mean, all these guys have been here. So you need to go and check those out. Kurt Busch. Need to get Kyle. I would love to have Kyle on. I think that'd be fun. But anyway, speaking of guys that like to race, Kyle Busch is one of those. There's a very cool event coming to the Nashville Fairgrounds, and that is obviously something that is near and dear to my heart because we've been talking a lot about the fairgrounds here on the show and what the future holds, and we'll get into that. But first, the World of Outlaws. For those of you that are diehard racing fans, you know about the World of Outlaws, dirt racing. This is where a lot of guys cut their teeth. Of course, Tony Stewart, Casey Kane, that's what he's doing now. Kyle Larson is a dirt racer. Ryan Newman last week was on the show, and we talked about it a little bit. So dirt is near and dear to these guys' hearts, and the World of Outlaws is coming. I went out there earlier today, and they were dumping dirt on the racetrack. They're using the quarter mile that's in the infield, and it's my first time being on a dirt track, and it was really cool. So I can't wait to go out and watch some of these guys, you know, these sprint cars, which are really hard to drive from what I'm told. It's going to be fun. It's going to be very intense. But a guy that is involved in this, you will never believe, is John Oates, who is one half of Hall & Oates, the Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. And he's a big race fan, and he's just, you know, he's excited to be out there and be a part of it and be a fan. But I had a chance to catch up with him while they were dumping the dirt out at the Fairgrounds Speedway.
Look, this isn't a concert we're at. We're here at a racetrack because you're an avid race fan. This is pretty cool, putting dirt down on this speedway.
Yeah, I'm comfortable on stage and at racetracks. And Nashville Speedway is one of the oldest still operating speedways in the country, maybe the oldest. And it's an amazing place, and I'm really glad the World of Outlaws are coming. Dirt is really cool. I grew up watching midgets and sprint cars on dirt back in Pennsylvania where I grew up, so I'm really looking forward to it.
So you're an avid race fan of, you know, I am as well. You know, NASCAR is kind of my background, so this would be my first dirt race to go to, and I'm very excited about it. But what kind of got you interested in it growing up?
Well, when I was a kid, really young, one of my best friend's father ran the food concession at the Hatfield Speedway outside of Philadelphia. And so every Saturday night under the lights, we would go, and we'd hang out, and we'd be in the pits. And I saw Mario Andretti driving jalopies in the 1950s. I am an old guy, so I'll admit it. You know, it's just been in my blood. And ever since when I got old enough, I started racing go-karts. I did a bunch of sports car racing. I even took the Buck Baker NASCAR school down in it at Atlanta. So, yeah, I've had a lot of experience racing over the years. And, of course, I don't do it anymore, but still enjoy my track days. I get out on the track every once in a while and, you know.
So is this like your hobby when you're not on the road, not touring, that you're going to go to a racetrack and have a little fun?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, cars are my hobby in general. But, yeah, in fact, I'm heading to the racetrack down in Florida on Monday, and I'm going to drive an old sports car. I've been doing a lot of vintage racing, so that's been kind of more my thing now.
Very cool. And you're going to be helping, I guess, put some dirt down on this track today, right?
Well, if helping means standing on a big pile of dirt, that means I'm helping.
Well, we think you're doing a lot, so appreciate the time.
You got it, man.
John Oates, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, out at the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. And so they were bringing in dump trucks full of dirt and laying it down and packing it and going through the process and putting up barriers and things like that. They had one of the sprint cars out there that we all got to check out. I could not fit in one of those things, let's just be completely honest. But it's going to be cool, so you can check that out. So it's coming up at the end of the month, May 31st and June 1st. And if you want tickets, just go to worldofoutlaws.com/tix or call 844-DIRT-TIX, T-I-X, and you can get your tickets to the World of Outlaws out at the Nashville Fairgrounds. So what's going to happen with the fairgrounds? That is the question that we always ask. We know that they're building a soccer stadium out there for the MLS. And we know that most people involved in the council and the mayor, David Briley, are saying, you know, the racetrack is going to be a big part of the fairgrounds. We want to figure out what to do with the racetrack, how to fix it up. So last year, you know, they entered into an agreement with SMI, Speedway Motorsports Incorporated, that runs the Bristol Motor Speedway. And earlier this week, that group led by Jerry Caldwell, who is the executive vice president at Bristol, they presented a project that I think is going to be good for Metro. You saw earlier this week that the Nashville Predators have proposed a new lease, 30-year lease with Metro. It's pretty much going to be approved. It's got to go to vote in June, but they would take care of all the repairs and keep the upkeep to Bridgestone Arena. So no money from taxpayers has to go towards Bridgestone Arena. Well, this is what the first public pitch. This is courtesy of the Tennessean that Bristol Motor Speedway Executive Vice President Jerry Caldwell presented. This says, plans for a project that would be funded through revenue bonds and revenue generated by the use of the speedway. So essentially, that's how it gets paid for. It's all about revenue. That's going to pay for the construction of this. And again, from the Tennessean, this includes a proposed 30,000-seat capacity grandstand with premium seating, an expanded concourse, pedestrian tunnels, and sound barriers. This is exactly what needs to happen. They need to tear down the grandstands, build new grandstands, redo everything, redo the garage area. And then I think that opens the door for NASCAR to come through here. And now that they have the financing figured out, really what they have to do is figure out some of the buildings and like apartments and stuff that are a part of the MLS plan. I feel like if it's just me thinking about this, that this is something they're going to be able to work out, because this is going to be good for everybody. How many drivers have you heard on this show say, hey, we got to come to Nashville? You know, Nashville is where we need to be. Nashville's a great market. We need to race at Nashville. It's a historic racetrack. I was talking to people out there today, and it's like, yeah, it just makes too much sense. You heard John Oates saying how historic it is. I feel like this is going to be an issue that they can work out, and that's going to open the door for some repairs to the track, and then NASCAR can decide what they want to do. The schedule for 2020 is done. 2021 is when new tracks can start to come in, and if SMI is running this thing, they can make the decision of, okay, well, we're going to probably take a race from one of our other properties, and we want to go to Nashville. And we want cup racing, truck racing, Xfinity racing. We want to go back to Nashville. And I feel like, I'm not speaking for NASCAR, this is all my opinion, but I feel like they'd be like, hell yeah, sign us up. This sport needs to be here. There are a ton of race fans in the Southeast, but especially Nashville. Mayor David Riley was on with Ryan Porth and Floyd Reese, Jared and the GM. Ryan was in for Jared this week. And, of course, the NASCAR question, it always seems to come up, and he answered it.
And then NASCAR, I mean, I think I've made it pretty clear to the NASCAR guys from North Carolina that they need to try and work it out with the MLS owners here in Nashville about some way to mutually utilize that facility over there, the fairgrounds over there. And if they can get something worked out, then I think that'll be great, and we can add that to the mix. But at this point in time, we've got a full plate, and we're going to try and take care of what's on our plate first.
When you think about all of the possibilities of what's next for Nashville, NASCAR needs to be a part of this conversation, because the track's already there. It's not like you have to build it from scratch. The track's already sitting there. You just got to fix it up. You got to dump some money into it. It's about $60 million is what this proposal says. So you got to dump some money into it, fix it up. It'll be on par with the MLS stadium, because the last thing anybody wants is a brand new, beautiful MLS stadium and then the racetrack in its current state sitting next to it. Look, it needs work. We all know that. We all know that it needs some money dumped into it. And so if you do that and all of a sudden you have a state-of-the-art racing facility, a state-of-the-art mixed-use stadium, not just for soccer, the fairgrounds has, in a very short amount of time, gone from needing a lot of work and what are we going to do with it to a premier place in a growing city. It wouldn't be that hard to do. And I understand money is always going to be the question, but it sounds like that they have that figured out. And if you as a consumer are going and using the facility, that's going to help pay for it. This is where a mix of private and public funding really comes into play. And I think it's going to be good for the city of Nashville, similar to that of the deal that they've reached with Bridgestone Arena and the Nashville Predators. So the hope is we're closer. I know I have been a big cheerleader for this, of getting racing back at the fairgrounds, NASCAR racing back at the fairgrounds. So hopefully we are close and this is another step. And again, check out the World of Outlaws. I think that is going to be cool for the racing world to come down to the fairgrounds here in a few weeks, May 31st and June 1st. They're at Nashville Fairgrounds. But this week, the All-Star Race, it's in Charlotte still. Maybe they'll move it around eventually. Maybe they'll come here. Who knows? But they will be racing at Charlotte for $1 million. We'll get you set up for that when we come back here on Chasing Checkers on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Moving right along here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, on the Game Nashville app and on thegamenashville.com as well. iTunes, search Chasing Checkers and you can subscribe. Get a new episode every Friday afternoon when it's released. And also, of course, you can hear it on the air on Saturday mornings at 7 and Sundays at 8 right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So the All-Star Race is this weekend at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. This actually marks the one-year anniversary of Chasing Checkers, so that's pretty cool. We started with the All-Star Race, and we know how it works, that you have the Open, which is for drivers that haven't won a race or don't qualify for the All-Star Race. And then, of course, we have the main event, and it's split up into stages like we're used to seeing. So this is how the rules will be this year, courtesy of NASCAR. So it's coming up Saturday night at 7 o'clock, but the format's going to be similar to that of 2018. They have added 5 laps to the end of the final stage, which I think will be cool, just adding a little bit of extra. So the stage lengths will go 30 laps, 20 laps, 20 laps, and then 15 for the shootout there at the end. The NASCAR overtime rules are going to be in effect for all of the stages and if they're needed, and no pit rules. You know, sometimes we have pit stop rules. Don't have that this time around. So 15 drivers have qualified for the race by virtue of winning a race in either 2018 or 2019, being a past All-Star race winner, or being a past Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series champion. Additionally, the winners of each of the three stages of the Open, 20 laps, 20 laps, and 10. So all three of those winners and the fan vote, they will move in. So they're going to add four additional drivers to the 15 that are already there. So that'll be fun. And look, you know, the last few years, Chase Elliott has been the fan vote winner, and he doesn't have to worry about that anymore because since last year, since the All-Star race last year, he's got four wins under his belt. So that's pretty cool. Right now, I haven't looked lately. I think Alex Bowman's up there. Matt DiBenedetto is up there because he's a fan favorite as well. So one of those drivers will get voted in, and then you'll have three stage winners that will get in as well. So that is exciting because there are no points on the line. And one thing we've noticed out of NASCAR the last few years with this race is they use this for a little research and development. This is where they tried this rules package that we're running now, and they're going to add a couple of different things to try and work with for 2020. Kevin Harvick was asked in media availability if the drivers like that NASCAR uses the All-Star race for R&D.
You know, it's really a race that you can try some things like that. I wish we would have had a little bit more on-track time with the parts and pieces that we had on a car to have a little bit of information on the things that are going on. We had a lot of questions that got answered, you know, today in practice. If you would have told me that we had a different splitter and hood ducks on the car, I would have probably not known the difference. So, you know, it didn't really affect any of the handling problems that you have with the car. They still, you know, don't handle as well as they need to behind each other, but it's not any different than what it was, you know, with or without them.
Kevin Harvick on using the All-Star race for a little R&D, and I don't mind it. I think they need more opportunities to do things like this because you're going to learn more about the rules package if you're involving the drivers that are going to actually be using the car. So if you can find some situations where there's an exhibition race like this one, I know it's hard to do at Daytona, but you know, they could do some things in the Busch Clash and, you know, maybe find a way to add an exhibition race so they can test some of this stuff. Because you're going to learn more out of actual racing conditions than you are in practice. So I'm okay with it. I think it's good for them to do these things and it's going to help them moving forward to get even better. What kind of strategy goes into the All-Star race? Because, you know, a lot of times we see checkers or wreckers. It's $1 million. There's no points. You know, they'll give you a car to go out there and, you know, hey, bring it back if you can. But if we got to put it on the wrecker, then all right, go after the $1 million. It's always crazy. I mean, remember 2001? I was actually watching something on this that they started the race, and as soon as they started the race, it began to rain. All the cars virtually wrecked or almost wrecked. They let the guys that did wreck pull the backup cars out. Jeff Gordon was one of those, and he ended up winning the thing. But there's always just weird events that happen at the All-Star race. One hot night in 1992, the first time they ran it under the lights, you know, that was one of those. I think that was the one Davey Allison won and couldn't go to victory lane because he had to go to the hospital. So it just, all these different things take place in the All-Star race. And I wonder what that strategy is. Kyle Busch was asked that question on NASCAR.com.
It's going to be interesting. You know, the All-Star race is always a place or a race that can lend itself to checkers or wreckers, I guess. You know, a lot of guys are going for broke. They'll go for anything that it takes in order to try to score that $1 million. And I've done that my fair share of times of wrecking out or hitting the wall or crashing, whatever it might have been. And, you know, so with given that opportunity to chase after $1 million, you put it all out there, you put it all on the line, you drive over the limits of the car, the tire, your equipment, and you also got to rely on your pit crew to do the same thing. So sometimes you get yourself in trouble.
I think that's why NASCAR fans like the All-Star race, because you know, you can do that, you can have that strategy, and maybe there's some things that you might be willing to try in a points race, but you've always been scared to do it because you don't know if it's going to work. So you do it here. It goes back to like NASCAR does it with the R&D, you know, trying to see what's going to work and what doesn't work. And you're going to see some of that strategy from drivers that are in the open, in the Monster Energy Open, that are trying to get into the big dance, and then guys that are already in there as well. Ryan Newman is the only driver to win the Open and then go and win the All-Star Race. He did that in his rookie year in 2002. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is the first rookie to win the race when he, quote, took all the money in 2000. So those are some fun All-Star moments. You remember Kyle Busch and Kurt Busch were racing side-by-side and wrecked each other. So that happened in, 2008, something like that, maybe 2007. But those are some fun moments that you can expect to see in the All-Star race, and I just think it creates a little more excitement. I do wish, and I feel like in 2021 this is probably going to happen. It's time to rotate this thing. All the other sports do it. It goes to a different venue. I know the NFL is playing it in Orlando, or they played it in Hawaii, but you have the NHL All-Star game that rotates, the NBA All-Star game rotates, MLB, it rotates. I think MLS does as well. And I just think NASCAR needs to do that too. Go to some different tracks. And I know a lot of drivers have said, go to tracks that you don't normally race at. I think that would be a lot of fun. But Charlotte's not a bad place either. So we will see how it all shakes out and who comes home with an extra $1 million. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Chasing Checkers. Hope you enjoyed it. John Oates, appreciate him taking a little time to talk to me out at the fairgrounds. We'll have much more coming next week. Remember, every Friday afternoon, you can get it on thegamenashville.com or on iTunes as well. I'm Chase McCabe, and we are Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.